Please take your seats as I pray. Holy Spirit, take my words and use them to speak your word of truth, your word of hope, your word of glory into each of our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's great to see you here. We're still getting used to having congregations in front of us again, and it really is a joy to see each and every one of you. We're in the middle or just started a series on the road to Pentecost, and we're still on that, but we're taking a slight diversion this morning as we prepare for our annual Easter Vestry meeting that will immediately follow this series. But I want to say that the theme that I was highlighting in the opening to that series is that we are Easter people, that we are to rejoice in the Lord and to proclaim not only his death on the cross, but his victory in rising again. So as God's people, we are called to be those joyful resurrection and Easter people. And last Sunday, I finished off with this verse from Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And that is the wonder and truth of the gospel, that the Holy Spirit pours God's love into our hearts. Holy Spirit, you are indeed not just welcome here, but welcome in each of our lives. And that is so true, that God pours his Holy Spirit, bringing hope in times of trouble. And his glory is even more evident in testing times. This hope and glory are magnified in these seasons when we face struggles. This morning, I want to introduce to you a new song. I quoted from an older song last week, but this is a new song, and it's a song called Hope and Glory. It teaches great truth and is a call to both believe in Christ and to praise him. And before we sing this at the end of my talk, I invite you to sit and listen and to take in the tune and the melody and to be ready to stand and praise and proclaim at the end of this talk. Hope and Glory. Great job by the music group. Stephen, I'm sure they love me on Thursday, pouncing a new song on them. So can we give a round of applause to the music group for not only that song, but for all that they've done, and especially to Stephen. And I wanted us to learn that song and for you to hear it before we sing it, because I think it's a great truth that God alone can move the mountains. Christ alone can heal our land. Christ alone, our hope and glory. Christ alone, in you we stand. And then it's further proclaimed in that wonderful bit at the end about belief and praise, that we believe that God is mighty, we believe that God is here, we believe that God is coming. So praise the Lord, our Lord is mighty, our Lord, our God is here. Praise the Lord, our King is coming. Christ alone, in you we stand. A great proclamation of biblical truth. God Almighty is here. The God the King is coming again. And it's also a song that is a prayer for God to move mountains and to heal our land. It's when people receive that hope of glory that healing flows and mountains are moved. Now, during this week, some of you may have picked up the BBC television programme from BBC Northern Ireland called Finding Faith. It was on last Monday evening. And in that programme, there were some amazing testimonies from people who had repented of their sins and from those who had experienced tragedy but had overcome it in amazing ways. There were stories of how people found the love of God in the midst of such challenging situations. Their pain at sin and tragedy was still very real. People like Bobby Matheson, Beryl Quigley, and Melanie Grimsley. But in their lives, the hope of Christ was really shining through in amazing ways. In Christ alone, they have taken their stand, and through him, the hope and the glory of God shines out. It is the life-changing power of the risen Christ and the power of the Spirit that enabled them to tell their stories of faith and grace and the God of hope, leading them from tragedy to new life in Christ. If you haven't seen it yet, I encourage you to look it up on the BBC iPlayer and to hear the stories that are there. Today, we will look back on a year that seemed unimaginable at the beginning of 2020. The God of hope has indeed guided us through these times of struggle, of sorrow, and many challenges individually, in families, and for the church. In these challenging times, we on the staff have sought to bring comfort to those who are bereaved, to offer support through Christ to those facing illness, including those with COVID-19, and to offer the hope of Christ and the God of glory as our ultimate hope and strength eternally. In our diocese and church, we have been truly shocked by the death of a young minister, the Reverend John Anderson, only 46 years old, who died as a result of COVID-19 yesterday. We remember his family, his parish, and his friends at this time. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and 19 offers great hope whenever he writes, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." The resurrection of Christ is the foundation of all hope, and it is through being changed from the inside out, from our heart and soul to the smiles on our faces and our deep desires to sing his praise as we worship, and the tasks that we undertake, that our lives can speak out the hope and the glory. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 puts it so well. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The reason that we have to rejoice, to serve, and to glorify God is that he has given us that new birth into a living hope, and it comes through the resurrection of Christ. There are three things in particular to remember about the hope and glory of God. And the first is, the glory of God is very great. The second, the glory of God is a sure hope in Jesus Christ. And the third, the hope of glory of God, the hope of the glory of God, fills the heart with joy and praise. So the first one, the glory of God is very great. When Paul says in Romans 5 and verse 2, "We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God," he means for us to know and feel that glory, that God's glory is exceedingly great. If there is any wonder, if there is any awe, if there is any admiration or fame or praise or applause, it belongs to the God of glory. For all other glory is like grass compared to God's. All other glory is here today and gone tomorrow. This is the first and major point, that the glory of God is very great. that God is indeed Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are welcome in our lives. That God is infinite and eternal and unchanging in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. In other words, God is very great, and therefore his glory is very great for our lives and for our society. And if we're not filled this morning with the joy of God at the prospect of seeing and sharing that glory, then we need to pray right now that God would open the eyes of our hearts and awaken our affection to give us a relish for his glory. In the New Testament, we see on many different occasions the marvelous glory that calls us to worship him as our great, glorious God and Savior. And then secondly, the glory of God is very sure in Jesus Christ. During the past year, the phrase that I've heard more than any other at any other time in my life is people saying to me, "I don't know how people manage who don't have Jesus as their sure hope." And in a year that has seen unimaginable suffering, we need a solid rock and a strong foundation and a sure hope for our lives. And the good news is that Jesus is that rock, and that he is that foundation, and that he is our hope for today, tomorrow, and forever. Now, let's be very clear that God hates the pain, the sufferings, and the deaths that we have witnessed this past year. But in our suffering, he is also, as Psalm 46 says, our refuge and strength. He blesses our lives with his presence, and we can know him with us as we take time to be still and know that he is God. And Psalm 46 has been a great comfort and strength to so many people during this past time. Do read it again and rejoice in it. More than that, because we have a sure hope in Jesus Christ in times of suffering, we can flourish. In Romans 5, verses 3 to 4, Paul says, suffering can begin a chain reaction. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character produces hope. It's interesting how many stories have been told in the secular newspapers and television of people changing the focus of their lives. We see it in amazing acts of charity from old age pensioners doing walks around their home to young boys sleeping out for over a year in a tent in their garden to support those that need it. We see it in the outstanding work of the NHS and the caring professions. We see it in others deciding to focus more on the important things in their lives, such as family. And we see it in many inquiring about faith. We see it in that Finding Faith program and in the amazing growth in the purchases of biblical material and books on prayer. And we see it in the numbers attending online Christianity Explored and Alpha courses, including our own Alpha course that ran in the first part of this year. And we were just blown away with those joining us, both in Lisburn and those who live further away. And it was a great way to encourage faith, to invite people to faith, to proclaim Jesus and to say there is hope and glory in Christ. At a time when church buildings have often been closed, it is clear that the Bible and the gospel have been open, read, studied, and received by many more than would have been the case in previous years. And we rejoice greatly that God has overcome human barriers to get out good news and hope. This has happened in a year when suffering led to perseverance or focusing on what is really important. The distractions were removed, so people were seeking something lasting and eternally secure. And that sure hope is found in Jesus Christ. And perseverance then leads to character. And the character of the church has been seen like never before. Just this week, I was with a bereaved family who, in their sorrow, found comfort from the love and support given to their mother by the members of this church. And that is just the character of the church coming out. It is this Christian character making a real and lasting difference in times of personal grief. All this leads to growth in hope, which is a stronger assurance of and confidence in the presence of God. This peace and future glory through the risen and ascended Christ who prepares a place at his banqueting table for all who trust in him as Lord is a great source of hope for each one of us and hope for the world. And thirdly, the hope of the glory of God fills the heart with joy and praise. And this third and final point is not so much a point in my message, it's more an opportunity for you to respond. It's simply this, that the hope of the glory of God fills the heart with joy and praise. It takes us back to Romans 5 and verse 2. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And the reason that we can rejoice in God is not that the Christian life is an easy life. It isn't. And that has been very evident for all of us. And this is made clear on occasions like in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen's face was like that of an angel as he testified before the Sanhedrin about the glory of God, telling of that glory from Abraham right through to the death and resurrection of Jesus. The members of the Sanhedrin were furious as they were preparing to stone Stephen to death. And then we read, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. We have every reason to praise God as the hope of his glory is great beyond all imagining. And in Jesus Christ, we find a sure hope for today and tomorrow, and for that day when we go to be with him in glory. It is essential for the church in worship and in every ministry to open the way for people to hear, see, experience, and receive the hope and the glory of God. I have prepared a written report for the annual vestry after this, but before I close, I want to thank a few people for their help during this past year, and to very briefly look ahead in our plans for the coming year. First of all, each Sunday, Joanne Irwin, who read for us, has been our church warden looking after everyone, and she's been doing that job for 3 years. As we mentioned earlier, Joanne steps down today, and so enormous thanks to Joanne. Our rector's glebe warden for the last, it must be close on 15 years, Paul, has been Paul Dugan. And you wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for the work of Paul. This place had water running down the back wall. Its electrics and lighting were failing. It needed repointing. It needed, basically, we took this building back to a shell, both externally and internally, rebuilt it. We decided that we'd build a new rectory, and then there's been lots of ongoing stuff that has needed doing. So Paul, thank you enormously for all that you have done. Michael McCune is our rector's church warden, and I'm delighted that Michael has agreed to allow his name to go forward for another year as our church warden looking after our parishioners. Steve Martin has joined Paul as our glebe warden, and I'm delighted too that Steve's allowed his name to go forward for nomination as glebe warden. There might be a whole half dozen or so that stand against you, Steve. We could be in a voting position there. But thank you for all that you've done. Richard Thompson has been looking after our accounts with his team. Unfortunately, Richard's not able to be here today. One of his family's self-isolating. But he is just masterful at guiding us through our finances. And shortly, Dennis Fullerton will come forward as our honorary secretary, and he guides us through all the business of the Select Vestry. There will be changes in our Select Vestry this year, and I'm very grateful to every member who has served actually for 2 years now, because our last annual meeting wasn't until October, and so the same Select Vestry was elected to see us through to this point. So thank you to each and every member of the Select Vestry. And then I've mentioned Stephen already and the music team, who have been doing amazing somersaults to keep us worshipping during lockdowns and through difficult rectors throwing songs at the last minute. Thank you to you and to all the team, Stephen. And at the back, we have our audio and visuals team, who are just brilliant. A special word to Des Henry, who keeps us live no matter what. I think the building could be falling down, and he would keep us live. So thank you to each and every member there. We have a pastoral visitors team who have been keeping in touch with people, and I know that their visits are so appreciated. I think they go in twos, and they're there to support those that need it. I do love the nickname that some of our senior members have given them. Oh, my minders are coming to visit. So thank you to them. Thank you to the Cameo leaders, who have been producing monthly newsletters, quizzes, information, reflections, and so much more, and doing everything they can to keep the Cameo people together, even though they can't meet physically together. They've been truly brilliant. And thank you also that the home groups have taken on a whole new importance this year. When we can't meet together in church, when we can't greet each other and do all of those things afterwards in the usual way, the home groups online have been a real source of fellowship, of teaching, and of being together. If you haven't joined one yet, I encourage you to do so, and do get in touch with myself or Danielle, or indeed Bill and Karen, our brilliant home group leaders, who oversee it all. We are currently starting this series, The Road to Pentecost, and I do encourage every home group to follow our sermon series and the notes and questions that we send out. And we're looking at a new series for the autumn that will be even more important that every home group follows what we're offering. So please do follow the sermon series and the teaching and the questions in your home groups. And continuing on, this year we've had four interns. It seems a strange time to have interns, but they have been more important than ever, quite honestly, in operations management, Jane Martin, in worship leading, Zoe McLaughlin, in youth work, Laura Kilpatrick, and in children's work, Ryan McGookin. And, you know, it's been incredibly challenging to cover all of these, and their support has been just brilliant. We hope that some of them will stay on, and where there are vacancies, we will look to fill them for the year 21 to 22. But thank you to all of our interns. And just thinking about what has been happening, the South Lisburn Church that we're seeking to establish got off to a great start with an event, Who Let the Dads Out, before lockdown. And since then, Pete and Donna and the whole team have been working online and getting to know people and producing reflections and doing everything that they can while socially distant. So well done to them. In Kidzone, Donna has been leading there as well, along with Ryan and a whole team of people. You heard about the Zooms before services. They were mentioned this morning. We're going to be looking at some new initiatives for the next couple of months as restrictions allow and seeing what we can do there. So thank you to them. And Metal have been doing their four-weekly cycle of events, Danielle has been a great overseer of that, along with Laura and the leaders there. Alongside our own leaders, I want to mention two of our diocesan staff. In children's ministry, Jill Hamilton has been a great source of inspiration and help. This week, Jill and her husband Jeff to Anna Long Parish, and Jill is giving up that position to work with him there. So enormous thanks to her. We're sorry to lose, but we wish her every blessing and her husband Jeff as they begin that exciting new ministry. Christina Bailey is our diocesan youth worker. She spoke here at a youth service, used technology brilliantly, and had people texting and all sorts of stuff during the service. She even delivered the Connor connections to me that are available there, and brought me a card and an Easter egg, I think it was. So she's top of my favourites lists at the moment. But she does a brilliant job. So thank you to all of those. And I've made a mistake here because I put Sarah Pinkerton when it should be Sarah Parkinson. I'm going to blame spell check on that. But Sarah Parkinson, Nathan Irvine are deacons this year, deacon interns. They are beginning their interviews in the coming weeks to be appointed to parishes. Please do pray for them as they discern where God is calling them next. And we so rejoice in the journey that God has had them on. Gareth Campbell and Lee Bowle are both studying at the Church of Ireland Theological College on the part-time course, and a lot of it is online. And we're so pleased to have them following God's call towards ordained ministry. And Pete Mina, from our South Lisburn Church, is doing the ordained local ministers course and has been, again, doing that online and studying all sorts of amazing things. So it's great to see people stepping forward for ministry and being prepared to commit their lives to it. And so we rejoice in these folks. So well done to Sarah, Nathan, Gareth, Lee, and Pete, and we wish them every blessing. And finally, to our other staff here. And these staff, for a large part of the year, have been on furlough. To Garvin, our administrator, we can't wait to welcome him back, or at least I can't. It will be great to be up and operational again as much as possible. So thank you to Garvin for all his work throughout the year. We look forward to having him back. Andrew Skelly, our organist and the choir, we're not able to have a 9:30 service at the moment, and we're working towards the restoration of that service later in the year. But thank you to Andrew and to the choir, and we're so looking forward to being able to offer two distinctive forms of service on Sundays as time goes on. And also to Pat and Jean McWilliams, who clean our hall and the church, and they've been on furlough as well. And as things open up, we look forward to them returning as well. Thank you also to the cleaning team, organised by Margaret Fullerton, who have been stepping in while Pat and Jean have been off, and when there has only been this building really to be cleaned in an ongoing basis. And as we look ahead, as I've mentioned, we're looking forward to a full return, or as much as possible, to worship and to activities. Quite honestly, day by day, and I mean that literally, day by day, we're receiving advice about that. So I had an hour-long conversation about what is possible and what isn't possible on Friday. So we're going to have to be patient, and we're going to work towards that full return as soon as it is allowable and as it is safe and as it is wise to do so. That is our aim. But we do want to keep everybody safe and to allow you to worship. I do so look forward to the day you can come in without masks and worship here. But that may be a little bit further off. The South Lisburn Church is continuing, and I've mentioned them already. We are so hoping and praying to get it on the ground in a really physical way later in the year. And do pray for Pete and Donna. And the good thing is they're building a team around them who are committed to that during this time of lockdown. And, we want to see that church really established on the ground. But well done to them. And we look forward to that progressing even more. We have work on the hall that is going to need doing. And Paul has already had architects and engineers and costings for that. It's going to be a major bit of work that needs doing in the next few years. And I know Paul will be passing on all the details and giving advice to our new glebe wardens. So that is a challenge for us that is coming up in the next number of weeks, months, and years. And then I want to highlight a very important anniversary, that in 2023 we'll have the 400th anniversary of worship on this site. So in 1623, the Church of St. Thomas was established here, and worship began in that year. Sometime later, a bequest was left that included the stipulation that a new church should be built and that it should be a cathedral for the Diocese of Connor. In the coming weeks and months, the new Select Vestry and others will be helping us think about how to celebrate, how to mark, and how to use this occasion to really open our doors, to invite people in, and indeed for the church to go out with good news. And it is a very important anniversary, so it's a little bit away yet, but we really need to start the work of celebrating the year 2023. 400 years of worship here as soon as possible. So I want to highlight that for you. And finally, the boss is in the corner here. Some people think I'm the boss, but Danielle has been approved by a board of nomination as vicar for Lisburn Cathedral. Now, what that means is that I give her lots more work. It also means that she's on a three-year contract with us, so there's no escape. She really has done a truly brilliant job as our curate. Her leadership skills, her pastoral care, her teaching, her looking after the dean, the rector, and Sam has been really important. So, Danielle, enormous thanks to you for your work during the past year and the past 3 years. And now I'm drawing to a close, but that's kind of almost annual vestry business. In all that we do, now and in the future, we want to reflect that hope and glory of God. That is what really makes a change. That is what really will help people. And we're going to sing that song, Hope and Glory. So I hope that you will indeed join in with that. And may the words of the song speak God's word, God's peace, and God's hope into our lives. We will sing, only Christ can move the mountain. Only Christ can heal our land. Christ alone, our hope and glory. Christ alone, in you we stand. Would you please stand? Lord, may your hope and glory dwell in each of our lives as we sing your praise, as we worship you, and as we proclaim you as our Lord and King. Amen.